regional pastor of Victory Outreach International from Chicagoland. Let's give him a good clap offering, amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful that Jesus saved your life? Let me ask you a question. How many of you used to be hooked on drugs before? How about in the prison systems? You were just lost. But today, you're in your right mind. Come on, somebody. Not only in your right mind, but we have a purpose. We have a mission. Come on now. God has separated us for such a time as this. And it's good to see everybody that came out to our prayer summit. Amen. People drove in from Cleveland, from Minnesota, from Rockford, from Chicago, Milwaukee. Come on, from all over the Great Lakes region to pray. That's a good sign. That's a real good sign that you guys are hungry for God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles. Open up to the book of Joshua. We're going to get right into it because I believe we need to stick around a little bit tonight after we're done. And we need to pray. We need to start praying tonight. Amen. Is that why you came? Yes. How many came to pray? Yes. They used to tell us, if you don't pray, you won't stay. If you don't fast, you won't. Come on, somebody. Ain't nothing changed. Right? Joshua chapter 3, one verse, verse number 5. And I believe this is a word for us tonight, for every man, every woman here in this room tonight. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy upon our lives, God, that we're here for another year, God, in our prayer summit, God, and Lord, with all of our brothers and our sisters, the pastors, the churches here tonight, God. And Lord, I know that this is a special year for Victory Outreach. This is a special year for the Great Lakes region. This is a special year for every church here tonight, God. This is a year, you've spoken it, of growth and expansion. So God, I pray tonight that you would just get a hold of us tonight, and God, that we would just grab a hold of your word tonight, that you want to speak into our hearts, and God, that you would begin to consecrate every man, every woman, young and old, God, in full-time ministry, laypersons, pastors, new converts, that you would sanctify us tonight, consecrate us tonight. God, we pray today in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Before you sit down, turn around to two or three people, give them a high five, and tell them you got to be holy. Like the angel in the book of Isaiah, he said, you got to be holy, holy, holy. He had to repeat it 3 times. Come on, somebody. How many of you here are ready to see God do some amazing things? I like that word that the NIV uses. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow God is going to do amazing things. Somebody say amazing.
Amazing.
I'm ready for the amazing. You know, we battled, right? We finished the battle, right? Now it's time to build. Come on, somebody. We were battling, but now it's time to build. Now is the time for growth and expansion in every church represented here tonight. And it's going to begin at the altar of prayer. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
It's at the altar of prayer where we consecrate ourselves. And I'm going to challenge us to do that tonight, because I believe that there's things that might be stopping the flow of God from moving in our lives. I believe in every person, you can think of something that you need to leave at this altar tonight. That's the beauty of the altar. It's a place where you come. It's a place of salvation. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of restoration. It's a place of the anointing. But it's also a place where we cast our burdens down. How many could say tonight that you got some things you need to leave here tonight, that you don't want to take back to your city? You don't want to take back home with you. You want to leave it at the altar tonight. Because I believe tonight, if we consecrate ourselves, we really get a hold of that. If we get a hold of that word, consecrate yourself. Let me give you a definition of it. It means to separate. It means to dedicate. It means to prepare yourself to serve the Lord. Now, I know some of you are saying, I've been serving the Lord. I've been saved for so many years. Come on, somebody. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I've been serving the Lord. But now is the time where we come and we consecrate ourselves. We come and we separate ourselves. We come and we prepare ourselves tonight to step into the amazing. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
This carries the idea of living a sanctified and a holy life. You don't hear people preach on that no more. It's not a popular thing that you turn on the TV and you hear the televangelist or the TV preacher talking about you need to get right, talking about you need to live holy, talking about you need to be sanctified. But how many know tonight, the word of God says, if you want to see the amazing, you got to first consecrate yourself. Now, I'm going to kind of give you the end right now, and then we're going to get into the message. This is why I believe God wants you and I to consecrate ourselves tonight. Because when you live that kind of life, it will give you the boldness and the faith to ask God for big things. Somebody say big things.
Amen.
See, when you live a holy life, you'll have the boldness and the faith to believe God for the amazing, to believe God for bigger, for better, and for greater things to happen inside of your church. I don't know about you, but I believe in Chicagoland, we're stepping in to the amazing. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I believe that God wants the Great Lakes region to step into that time where you come to church and you're blown away by what God is doing in your ministry. You show up to your life group, you show up, you wake up to that men's home or that women's home or that gang ministry, and you're blown away. You can't believe the amazing things that God is doing in our lives. Do you want to see that?
Yes.
I know the pastors want to see that.
Yes.
I know I want to see that. And I know even more than that, God wants to see that take place in every church here tonight. Come on, somebody shout to the Lord. As you read your Bible, and I encourage everybody to read their Bible every day. I think you should get on a Bible reading program with your leader, with your discipler, and you guys should read through the Word of God together as a group, as a church. Read through the Word of God, but you'll find in the Scripture that consecration is emphasized over and over and over and over again. And we find it right here in the book of Joshua. We find that God is looking to move in the lives of people who separate themselves unto Him. Right? We find here the children of Israel were wandering for 40 years. How many know what it's like to wander? Come on, somebody. Has anybody here been in the wilderness for a season? You know, the wilderness is where things ain't happening. Come on, somebody. It's dry and dusty. Not a whole lot of joy. Come on, somebody. Not many victories in the wilderness. And we find the children of Israel coming out of that season. Just like I believe many of you here tonight are going to come out of a season of wandering in the wilderness, and you're going to step in to a new season of the amazing. Somebody say the amazing. So they were wandering, then they come to the Jordan River, and they're about to cross over into the promised land. They're about to cross over to that place where they see every promise of God being fulfilled inside of their lives. How many know we're still praying for some things? We're still believing God for some things. But I want to declare to you tonight that those things are going to begin to take place in your life. Before they were crossing over, they were given a command, just like God tonight. It's not Pastor Nick. It's God tonight telling the Great Lakes region the command to consecration. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to us tonight. He says, consecrate yourselves. One translation says, sanctify yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will do great and mighty things among you. As I started looking into this, here's what God wanted them to do. They were to bathe. Or shower. Come on, somebody. They were to wash or cleanse themselves. And then they were to change. They were to take off their clothes. Come on, somebody. Change their clothes. And they were to put on new garments. And then after they washed themselves, took off those old, dusty, dirty garments from the wilderness, and they put on those new garments of promise, those new garments of praise, then they were to devote themselves wholeheartedly unto the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that still believes in wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Where you say you're going to give God everything. You're not holding back anything, but you're going to give God your life. Now, here's the significance of this command that he tells them to bathe and wash their clothes. Here's the key to understanding this. In the wilderness journey, water was considered a luxury. It wasn't like they didn't just go over to the sink and turn on water. It didn't come in a bottle. Come on, somebody. See, water was considered a luxury in the wilderness journey. And watch this. It wasn't often used for personal hygiene. How many thank God tonight we get to take a bath? Do this tonight. Make sure that person next to you smells decent. But there was a significance to this consecration. It wasn't just a verbal consecration, but it was something that they actually did. It was a physical act of rending their garments, cleansing their lives, and putting on the garments of praise. Can I hear you say amen? The act of bathing and changing their clothes symbolized for Israel and for you and I that they were experiencing a new beginning with the Lord. How many tonight are looking for a new beginning with the Lord? Come on, how many tonight say, man, I need to step in something new. I don't want what it used to be. I don't want to go back to where I was. I want something new. I want new in my marriage. I want new in my family. I want new in my ministry. I want new. Come on, how many are looking for the new? David said it like this, wash away all my iniquity. And cleanse me from all my sin. That's what consecration does. And see, by obeying this command and consecrating themselves, the children of Israel were preparing themselves to receive God's promise for the future. Somebody say the amazing. I'm here to tell you tonight that God told me to say to you, he wants to do the amazing. He wants to blow away every pastor, every pastor's wife, every leader, every member. He wants people to walk into your church and say, wow. He wants people walking around during your worship service and praising the Lord just in awe of God. He wants you to leave here tonight anticipating and expecting Sunday morning. The amazing is going to happen. See, God didn't just say it. He promised that he would do amazing things among them. And I believe that's the promise. I know I caught it. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're step 8. Chicagoland. Amen. Come on, we're stepping into the amazing. Come on, City Church, you're stepping into the amazing. Milwaukee, you're stepping into the amazing. Come on, Cleveland, the amazing. Minnesota, I hear it's already happening. Rockford. Come on, we're going to step. I'm taking that home with me. Yeah. How about you? Yeah. I believe the gang knows about the amazing. Come on, Victory Homes. I said Victory Homes. It's a promise from Almighty God that if we consecrate ourselves, separate ourselves, if we live holy, God is going to do amazing things. Just as he opened the door for your salvation, the way he opened the Red Sea to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, from bondage, now he's going to open the Jordan River and take them into the promised land. How many know we don't need to get saved no more? Come on, how many been saved? Maybe there might be one or two of you that they just tricked you into coming. Told you, hey, we're going to go to Milwaukee. Just get in the car. Maybe you need to get saved. But I believe most of the folk here tonight, you don't need salvation. You need to step into your amazing promise tonight. Come on, somebody. We need to step in. We need to grab a hold of it. So consecration is important. It's important to our relationship with God. In Peter's, 1 Peter, Peter tells us to be a holy people and to live separated from the things of the world. Now, I know who I'm talking to tonight. Come on, somebody. I know who I'm talking to tonight. And there's some things that are going on, or you're entertaining, or you're hiding. Come on, somebody. There's some things inside of our life. It might not even be an act. It might just be a thought. How many know? Jesus says if you even think it, that we need to come and we need to leave it at the altar of sacrifice and never pick it up again. Because from this moment on, if we're going to step into the amazing, we got to live out our lives as a royal priesthood. Come on, that's how God looks at you. God looks at you and God says you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy man, a holy woman. You're a chosen people. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I hear we're an anointed generation. I hear that we're a treasure out of darkness. Somebody said that we're the third wave. But we got to live consecrated. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let me give you 4 things that you need to know about living that consecrated life. First of all, living consecrated is going to challenge you. Oh, it doesn't come easy. There's a cost. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
It's not easy to live holy because everybody else is going to the left. Come on, how many know the world right now wants to go to the left? They want to be liberal. They want to say live anyway. There's so much stuff going on in society now that I believe that it's just madness. And it's so easy to get caught up in it. They just legalized marijuana in the state of Illinois. Somebody said, well, it's legal. Is it okay to do it if it's legal? I said in World War II in Nazi Germany, it was legal to kill a Jew. Does that make it right because it's legal? Come on, somebody. But we live in a world where you could just get on this. Come on. You can get on this instead of using it to follow up on people, using it to make contacts, using it to post flyers on your Facebook. You can hit the wrong button and you can go deep into darkness. Come on, somebody. We live in a wicked, we live in a society that is perverted, and God is saying to us today, I want to do something great. I've chosen Victory Outreach. I've chosen the Great Lakes. I've chosen you to do the amazing, but you got to live a consecrated life. And that's going to challenge us, because we're going to make commitments here tonight. Because you know what it's like when you make a commitment. Right away, people challenge you. The enemy challenges you. Come on, somebody. See, Israel was about to embark on a journey that would take them through a series of challenges. The first one was right in front of them, the Jordan River. At the time that they were going to cross over the Jordan River, the Bible says it was at flood stage. In other words, it was an impossible task to get from one side to the other. How many of you have tried to change? Come on, somebody. You've made commitments, or you made, like they say, a New Year's resolution. Don't make resolutions, make commitments. And you know what you got to do? You got to get up every morning. You got to make that commitment again. Right? We live in a world of people making resolutions and wanting to change. But then when the challenges comes, when the difficulty that comes with the change that you're facing comes, you quit. I believe one of the greatest obstacles that our region faces, it's not the devil. It's not finances. It's none of that. It's not people. It's consistency. I'm going to give you a challenge tonight. We're still in the month of January, right? I'm going to give you a challenge. If you're new to the ministry, or if you're here tonight and you're going through things or whatever you're facing, stick it out. Give God this whole year of consecration. Not just coming to church. Not just a year of showing up at church, but living right before God. When things ain't going right up here, you get to the altar. I remember somebody told me when I first got saved, oh, they're just brainwashing you. I said, that's right, because my brain was filthy, it was dirty, it was evil, it needed to be washed. But you're gonna make a commitment tonight that you're gonna live a consecrated life no matter what you face, no matter how difficult it is. That impossible thing that you're facing tonight, it might be a sickness, it might be a deep financial debt that you feel you'll never be able to get out of it, it might be an unsaved spouse, a child, it might be a number of things, but what seems impossible to you, when you consecrate yourself, it is possible with God. Yeah, we're gonna get challenged. Yeah, I'm going to get challenged. Pastors, we're going to get challenged. Leaders, if you're a leader, you're going to get challenged. But you got to plant yourself. You got to be consistent. You can't get your feelings hurt. Come on, somebody. You can't take your ball and go home. They faced the Jordan. The second thing they faced was Jericho. Come on, somebody. Jericho and its intimidating walls represent the enemy. Now, you know tonight the devil's mad at you guys. Come on. You know tonight you probably got a flat tire. Your carburetor, if your fuel injection started acting up. Somebody had vehicle problems getting here. But you got here. Come on, somebody. Because the enemy... Listen to me, the enemy will intimidate and try to use anything to stop you from coming to the altar of consecration. He'll use intimidation. He'll use fear. He'll use doubt. Come on now. Man, I can't make it. I can think of all the reasons why I could have stayed home. Why I should have stayed home. Come on, somebody. But you got to get that out of you. Because you know, if I'm going to live consecrated, I'm going to be challenged. I'm going to be challenged by impossible situations. I'm going to be challenged by the enemy. Come on, somebody. Right? And they're going to face other people in that land. As they're possessing the land, they're going to face giants. Come on now. Right? We're not just going to go back to our cities and people are going to show up to church. Here I am to give my tithes and offerings. Can I go work in the kids' gang? Right? Can I stay up in after church and clean? They're not going to come like that. But when you're living holy, when you're consecrating yourself, all those challenges, with all those difficulties, all the reasons why you can't do it, or all the people problems that you face, they go away because you know today God is doing the amazing. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. See, one thing I've learned is every new level that I experience, there's going to be things that I have to conquer. Every year there's going to be things that we have to conquer. I've been doing this for a minute now, and every year there's new challenges. And all you got to do is you got to get some grit, some determination, and you just got to get some neology. Come on, somebody. That's why I thank God that six, 7 years now? We've started. This is our seventh year of starting off our year in prayer. Come on, somebody. I believe it's so important. I believe that it's going to be by faith. I said we're going to be able to overcome, and we're going to be able to find success by faith. Every battle we're going to win, we're going to win it by faith. Can I hear you say amen? So you got to consecrate yourself. Because you're going to be challenged. You're going to have to confront things within yourself. You're going to have to confront the enemy. You're going to have to confront challenges to grow. You're going to have to confront even people that are around you. Come on, somebody. One thing I know about growth is not everybody wants to grow. I've learned that. Everybody says they want change. Everybody says they want things to get better. But not everybody wants to grow inside of here. Not everybody wants to grow in holiness, in purity, in separation. Not everybody wants to come and lay their life down before the Lord. So it's a challenge. Tell your neighbor it's going to be a challenge. But isn't the amazing worth the challenge? Hey, I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. The amazing. God will do the amazing if you face the challenges. The second thing I learned about living consecrated is it's a process. You know, when you get saved, the Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Everybody say righteousness. Right. Now, right now, when God looks down upon us, God sees his righteousness. He sees you in a right standing with him. When God looks down at you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ tonight, when God looks down at you, he sees you in a right standing with him. But you know as well as I do, not everything's right in our lives. Come on, can somebody say amen? Or am I just messed up? Right? There's still areas in our life, attitudes, desires, actions. Come on. Anybody got any of those things they need to get right tonight? But here, I want to tell you this. When God looks at you and God sees you, he sees you in a right relationship. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Consecration, though, is an everyday thing. See, righteousness and justification comes the moment you get saved. But if you're going to live holy, you're going to live sanctified, you got to get up every day and you got to pursue it. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Come on. That's just the way it is. When the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, and as they walked through the Red Sea, they were slaves. Come on, somebody. They walked out of Egypt slaves. And even in the wilderness journey, we see sometimes they had a slave mentality. Huh? What's the slave mentality? When you murmur, when you complain, when you doubt, when you rebel. See, that's a slave mentality. I know we don't got that in the house tonight. They left Egypt as slaves. But what God was going to do, God was going to take them through a process, and he was going to get that slave mentality out of them. Come on, somebody. And he was going to make them into an army. And then when they entered into the promised land, they were going to be able to take the city. Yes. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to take my city?
Yes.
Well, I got news for you. We will not be able to take our city with a slave mentality. Amen. We got to get that out tonight. It's a process. This is what they call the making of the man or the woman of God. They used to tell us when I first got saved that God has to hurt you deeply in order to use you greatly. How many still want to be used of God? Come on, how many want to be used of God? Hey, God's going to cut some things out of us. Come on, somebody. You know, the Bible says we're the circumcision in the spirit, right? Not of the flesh, but he cuts away things in our heart, right? There's things in our heart, things that we, our mindsets, God's got to take out of us. He has to come in. It's a process. It's an everyday occurrence. It's not going to just happen tonight at the altar. It's going to happen tonight. Then it's going to happen tomorrow. Then you got to get up on Sunday before church, and it's got to happen again. Monday morning, it's got to happen again. Every day, you got to come to the altar, and you got to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Can somebody say amen?
Yeah.
Now, there's some lessons that I see the children of Israel learn while going through the process that we're going to learn in our process of consecration. The first one is this. It's only by divine provision that we're going to be able to cross over. How many know you can't get this in the flesh? You can't buy it? Come on, how many know in the New Testament there was a group of guys that tried to buy the Holy Ghost? You can't buy it. I don't care how close you get to your pastor. I don't care how many times you do nice things for him. That anointing does not come by what you do for your pastor, for your leader. The anointing comes by who you are before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody. Can't be bought. It can't be bought. It's only by divine provision that we're going to be able to cross. So that's why we need some people of faith. And faith, strong faith like that, big faith like that, it's when people are consecrated, it's the breeding ground for supernatural faith. It's a breeding ground for when we start saying, man, I'm not going to think like that no more. I'm not going there no more. Man, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you no more. I'll hang out with you if you come to church with me. If you stop doing that, I'll hang out with you. Come on, somebody. Well, you say, well, wasn't Jesus a friend of sinners? Yeah, he was their friend so he could win them to the Lord. Right? There's some people we're going to have to cut out of our life. There's some things we're going to have to cut out of our lives. Because if we want to see the supernatural take place, and I believe it's going to be poured out in this region, I believe that there's going to be a supernatural outpouring of God that's going to bring growth. They're going to come in fives. They're going to come in tens. They're going to come in twenties. Do you hear me tonight? Do you believe that tonight? But it's by divine provision. That's a lesson we got to learn. And you know what sin does? Sin plugs up the well. That's why If my heart ain't right, it plugs up your well. And if your heart ain't right, it plugs up my well. That's why you can't compromise with somebody. Okay, homie, I'm not going to say nothing because we're dogs. Wow. I want you to know that dog is robbing you of your blessing. Ain't no dogs. We're not dogs. We're men of God. We're women of God. We're a consecrated people. We're a holy people. That's a lesson you got to learn. It's going to be by the power of Almighty God. And that power is going to be loosened where there's a holy hunger for the things of God. How many want to get over that Jordan? Come on. We've been looking on the other side for a while, Great Lakes. Come on, we've even sent spies over there, and they brought back some of the grapes. Come on, I've seen grapes. I've seen some of the fruit of it, but I don't want to just see the fruit. I don't want to just go and get a branch or two. I want to live in it. I want to see, watch this. I want to see that fruit growing in my front yard, in my backyard, on the side yard. Come on, somebody. It's going to take a supernatural faith. We got to cross over. Quit looking. Yeah, one day. I can see it's got. I'm tired of telling people it's going to happen. Your husband's going to get saved. Man, your healing is coming, brother. Your healing. That financial miracle. I'm tired of us looking over and seeing what God could do. I'm right about you. I'm ready to cross over. I'm ready to cross over. I'm ready to experience it. I want to taste it. Bible says, taste and see. Come on. We can smell it cooking. That just gets you more hungry. Another lesson in the process is victory comes when you wholeheartedly follow God. How many want the victory? Then you got to, with your whole heart. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I don't know about you, I want to hear that voice. That voice, I believe, for us is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where he comes and he convicts us. If we're going to the left, he says, no, turn back, go straight. If you're going to the right, the Holy Spirit will convict you. You know when you're going the wrong way. You know when you're about to enter in. That voice is speaking. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit letting you know whether you turn to the right or to the left. Your ears will hear a voice saying, that's the way. Continue to pursue it. I'm here today to tell you, Victory Outreach, Great Lakes Region, the voice is saying, consecrate yourself tonight. Consecrate yourself because I'm about to do the amazing. You don't have to be a theologian. You can read your Bible and you can find that Israel was successful when they continue to follow God wholeheartedly. Every time they got right with God, the blessing of God came. Manna from heaven, water from a rock, right? Every time they got right. But every time they strayed from God, they got locked down again. How many know we don't want no bondage no more? We don't want to get locked down no more. Come on, somebody. We want to turn to God tonight. We want to come to God this weekend. We're going to experience freedom. There's going to be some chains falling off. Some of you, you still struggle with nicotine. You still struggle with alcohol. You still struggle with drug addiction. Okay, there's going to be some chains falling off tonight and tomorrow, some bondages. Come on. There's going to be some bondages falling off of perversion, of lust. Come on, somebody. There's going to be some breakthroughs. There are going to be some victories tonight. Why? Because God is promising us the amazing, and it begins with you tonight. Thirdly, God's provision is always connected to his plan for me. Listen, pastors, I know how many say tonight one of our biggest things is there's not enough money to do what God has called us to do. There's not enough people. We need more leaders. How many of you praying for more leaders? Right? Jesus even said it. The harvest is plentiful, but the labor's a few. Right? There's certain things that we lack. But hear me tonight. In the presence of Jehovah, hear me tonight. When you enter into a holy relationship with God, His provision is always connected to His plan for you and me. And God is telling us to go, to step out, to consecrate, that we must know tonight that if we focus our life and our attention on living right, we'll know tonight that God will bless us and He'll help us in our way. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
He's here to help us. That means there's some compromises that can't be done no more. Oh, it might look like, well, it's an easy compromise. I need to get this. You know, the end, you know, justifies the means. No, that ain't Bible, my friend. That's a worldly thing. If we get things right, we do things the way we follow God's plan, follow His word. We follow what the Bible says. It's a scriptural. That's why I tell people all the time this. I go, don't worry about what I say. Make sure what I say is what He says. Because there's a lot of people with different thoughts and different beliefs. But hey, all you got to do is come back to what God's word says. God's word is the final authority for you and I. Remember that old saying, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's holiness. You gotta let God lead us, and you'll understand He'll provide. There's buildings, there's homes, there's vehicles, there's financial means, everything we need. You know, the Bible says He's gonna bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, every spiritual blessing, everything we need. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered into your heart what God has in store for you and your congregation and your family. Come on, God has big things. But you know, sometimes we put God on pause. It's already been given, but it's on pause because we need to get right. We just need to get right. Come on, somebody. So consecration will challenge us. Consecration is a process. It'll teach us some things. And thirdly, consecration will transform you. See, some people here tonight are going to leave out of here totally changed. Your pastor's going to wonder, who is that guy? Who is that girl? What happened? What happened in your life? You struggled for so long, but now you got it together. You were in and out, in and out. You know anybody like that? You can almost set your clock. Let's see, January 24th, 10 p.m. Yep, here he comes. Because we got, I don't know, I do. Do you go? You guys have people that come and go? But yet you're their church, you're their pastor. But you see them like 3 weekends out of the year. You might be here tonight, and you're like that. You can't seem to get it together. You just can't seem to stay consistent. I'm going to declare to you tonight that if you come to this altar, if you consecrate yourself, you're going to be in. Come on, somebody. You're going to be in till the end. The Apostle Paul said we can transform our lives by the renewing of our minds. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. That word transform comes from the word metamorpho, which means to change after being with someone. And the more time you spend with Jesus, come on somebody, the more time you spend in prayer. And let me throw this in. Pastor Charlie has a great plan for prayer that he's using in his church as a model for a region. I'm going to encourage every pastor to have him come and get us on that plan where every week there's a day of prayer in your church and we all follow the plan that he has. It's a plan of consecration. It's a plan of separation. I believe if we all get on the same page that the amazing is going to flow from heaven. Right? Transformation. Spending time with the Lord will change you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, look at this, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is telling us the closer that we draw to Jesus, the more we become like him. Oh, my God. How many want to be like Jesus here tonight? Come on. How many want to have a church that is the church like Jesus? That the presence of God, when you walk in, people are touched. I'm praying for that. That when people walk into the doors of our church, when people walk into the doors of my house, I plead the blood over it. I pray, God, when they walk in, let them feel your love. Let them feel your victory. Let them know that they are a child of God. The closer we draw to the Lord, the more we become like, I want to be like Jesus. I want you to be like Jesus. And consecration is a part of the process of change. John 17:17, you guys know it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Come on, somebody. Listen, the Bible wasn't given to us for information. The Bible was given to us for transformation. I know some guys. I know some guys that can quote scriptures really good. Better than me. I'll be honest. I know the scripture. I might not know where it is. That's why I thank God for the iPhone with the, you just put in one word and it'll pop it up for you. Man, I know some guys though. Man, they know the word and I'm like, dang. This guy can quote scripture, especially guys that come from prison. Come on, anybody here got jailhouse salvation? You know, you got a big head with the word and you got weak knees in prayer. Come on, be honest. Guys that come from prison don't pray. Because you know in the jailhouse, you're not going to get on your knees and close your eyes, drip back to people. You'll read the word. Come on, they come out headstrong. They know it. They're quoting scripture and blah, 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 telling you every preacher, every person that, but they can't pray for 10 minutes. Because it's in prayer. Come on, it's in prayer. When prayer and the word meet, boom, there's power. I got some of you fellas jealous. Come on, I did time, but I know. Come on, it's just the way it is. We need to be transformed. We need to get the word in us, but the word needs to change us. Transform our mind. It needs to transform our desires. We need to leave out of here with different desires. Come on, get that stinking thinking out of your life. 2 Corinthians 6:17, I'm almost done. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. How many of you want to be received by God? Come on, somebody. How many of you want God to say, come on in, son. Come on in. Walk into your blessings. Huh? Come on. Walk into your amazing. There's a box of amazing with your name on it. And all you got to do is consecrate yourself. Living consecrated will challenge you. It's a process that will teach you. It will transform you. I want the musicians and the singers to come. But not only will it do that, watch this. Here's where we get into growth and expansion. Living consecrated will advance us. How many are ready to see three areas of growth? Spiritual growth. Come on, we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Spiritual growth. Numerical growth. How many want to, break that barrier? Come on, shout out that barrier that you want to break in your church. Come on, shout out that barrier that you want to break in your church. Come on, shout out that barrier. You're going to break that barrier. Living consecrated will advance you. When you consecrate your life to the Lord, He'll take you places that you never would have imagined you were able to go. He'll allow you to see things. You'll open up the Word of God, and the Word of God will speak to you like never before. Words will come. It'll come alive. Come on, somebody. That rhema. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll be reading, all of a sudden you don't need a commentary. You don't need to look up the Word. All of a sudden that Word came alive inside of your heart. You'll be like the psalmist, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, when you consecrate your life to the Lord, He'll enable you. How many need some enablement tonight? Come on, that's the anointing tonight. He'll give you that divine enablement tonight. When you consecrate yourself to the Lord, He'll use you. Come on, if you want to be used tonight, I want you to get up off your seat. I want you to stand. It'll use you. You'll be like Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 37:10, he said, "I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered into them, and they came alive and stood up on their feet, a vast army." How many of you want to be able to speak a word of prophecy? How many of you want to speak a word of direction? How many of you want to speak a word of breakthrough? Come on, shout that word out. Shout it out. Because that's what consecration is going to take us into, a whole nother realm. Jeremiah said it like this: "Call unto me and He'll answer me, and He'll show us great and mighty." That's the amazing. Paul said He'll do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Jesus said, "Greater works the Great Lakes region will do because I go to the Father." How many are ready for some amazing tonight? Come on, you ready for the amazing? You got to consecrate. You got to lay it down. There's some things that might need to be left on this altar tonight. You might need to leave that thing tonight. You might need to just leave it here tonight. But when you do, when you get up, you're going to get up in the amazing. You're going to get up and you're going to see growth and expansion. You're going to get up and the blessings of God are going to begin to chase you down. Are you ready for that tonight? Come on, sing a song. These altars are open right now. Come on, these altars are open. Consecrate yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.